Brant from Bodywork Associates, this year celebrating their 22nd anniversary. Bodywork Associates has been providing professional massage therapy to Champaign-Urbana since 1982. Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, cards and gifts, as well as creative crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk show. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and for some time now, it has been our tradition and our habit and our pleasure to talk about food and cooking, and generally with the same guest. His name is Doyle Moore, and a long time ago, we started calling him our chef in residence, and I would like to point out this is a purely honorary title. He stops by here once a month and generally always on the first Wednesday, the 10 o'clock hour, when we talk about cooking. And we always have a good time exchanging recipes and stories. And we have talked about different dishes. Sometimes we pick one particular thing to highlight. Sometimes we've talked a little bit about regional cooking. We've talked a little bit about cooking from various places around the world. And we have done a little culinary troubleshooting. Every once in a while, someone has called in and said, I'm trying to make this recipe, and it's just not working. What do you think I'm doing wrong? We have done that. And we always have a good time. So this time around, we thought we would talk about what is, for a lot of people, I think, one of the ultimate comfort foods, particularly now, at this time of the year. And as I said before the news, I say if there was ever a day that was created for soup, this is it. You'd like to be home curled up in front of the fire with a nice bowl of soup. That is what we're going to talk about here this morning. And our idea particularly is that we'd like to hear from you if you have a recipe for something that you think is really good and also is, relatively speaking, quick and easy to make. Not something that's going to take you all day, not something that's going to take hours, something that you can get on the table in an hour or less, maybe. 333-9455, that's the Champaign-Urbana number. We do also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us. So if it's a long-distance call, use that number, and that is 800-222-9455. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Yes,
glad to have
thank
you,
here. You. Yes, I'm happy to be here, ice and all.
Oh, it's not too bad yet, but it sounds like maybe the later in the day we get, it might be kind of unpleasant and tough to get around outside. So I'm sure a lot of people, as soon as they want to get home, they want to have some soup.
That's it. On the way home, I got to pick up my soup supplies.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we already have a couple callers here, so I can get to them. But my question for the day is this. You cannot always make stock.
No.
And it is and so we do have canned stocks.
Yes.
And they're good products. I mean,
very good.
No doubt about it. They're good products, and you can do a lot of things with them. However, I guess my experience is that depending on what it is you're doing with them, they can leave something to be desired. You know, if you're using it as an adjunct, that's fine, but standing on its own.
Oh, no.
So I guess one of the things I'm sort of interested in is this idea is what can you do to improve canned stock? You know, are there easy things that you can do to enhance the flavor of canned stock?
Well, actually, there are. Yeah. And now there are various levels, as you said. There's some that are just next to water.
Yeah.
And so I do avoid those. I don't know what brand I use now that I think of it. But, yes, there are things you do. One, don't kill me for this. One is you go get a roasted chicken and you put the roasted chicken in the pot and put the other the stock over it. That's in case you wanted to use lots of chicken, which I have a couple of recipes that I've just been doing. I laughed at that because I always thought you had to start out with a fresh chicken and that would be it. The best answer is a pre-roasted chicken. Then, much to my sorrow, I find out that the pre-roasted chickens, the ones that the grocery stores and all do, have all been marinated in a lot of brine. And so the sodium is very, very high.
Yeah.
And that made me sad because I had just excited myself by by doing this recipe with first you have a roasted chicken, and then you put some – one is just water. But I found that, you put any of the chicken broths in it or vegetable broths. Those are awfully good too. And it pumps it up. I was wanting, I was making avgo lemono, and so I did that. And so I could tear plenty of chicken off of the bones. That was done. And then while I was cooking that, I threw in a handful of rice. And you just cook that until it splits and curls. So it doesn't take very long if you're doing it on high heat. And went ahead and made a nice Greek soup.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk with folks here who have already called in. We have a couple. We'll start with someone listening in Champagne. Then they're on line one. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Here's the Gunnar-Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a recipe for some Hungarian chicken soup, basically.
Oh, sounds good.
It's called Burgert, and that spells B-E-R-G-E-T, and the E is the O with the double... the double dots on top. So it's basically dirt cheap. You you just get some chicken tights or whatever part of chicken,
uh-huh.
Slice lots of onions, and potatoes, sort of cut it into small pieces, and do the onions and the potatoes in a big pot together, and then you just add this chicken, but you you spice it with regular pepper, mm-hmm. and lots of paprika, which should be hot, and a bit of salt. And then you just add water and let it cook for a while. And usually we also add a vegetable bouillon or maybe a little bit of chicken bouillon.
Oh, yes.
And then you let it cook for an hour or so. And like with goulash, it usually tastes better if you reheat it. So if you make lots of it and have some leftovers, it starts tasting better and better.
Oh, that's good. It really does do that, doesn't it? It somehow all melts together, and all those flavors, they do something. They do change. But, yes, you're right. If there's ever any leftover, that's one of my problems.
Right.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Very good. Thank you. Well, let's go on here. Let's talk with someone in Urbana next, line number two. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I was focusing on let's make it quick.
Yes.
And it starts with that ubiquitous canned broth.
It's
chicken.
Okay.
And then you sort of throw in whatever vegetables you have, either raw or cooked.
Yes.
I always have onion, and then I have some cooked broccoli today, so I'm going to throw some of that in there. And
good.
Then some other vegetables, but you could even use one of those bags of frozen vegetables or chop up everything you've got in the crisper.
Yes, indeed.
And throw it in, cook in the chicken broth. And there's, of course, potatoes.
And potatoes, yes.
And after you get it all cooked and you're ready to serve it, you can add grated cheese or hunks of Velveeta if you really want to go to sort of homey. But it's just, or, you know, shred some cheddar in or something, but it's a cheesy vegetable soup that, of course, tastes different every time you make it. But you can just put it together, and you can eat it an hour later.
So the vegetables you don't puree that or anything. They're whole.
No,
I mean not whole, but they're
kind of depends
chunky.
On my mood.
Mm-hmm.
And if I and for that, I might just use a potato masher and just get some of it.
Oh yes, all right.
So that it gets a little thicker, just to have so it isn't like a. You know, a clear broth, but a kind of has a little bit of
a little body.
Body.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
That must be the technical term.
That I think that's close enough. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, this is very good because now there are many recipes that are very similar to this, but I mm-hmm. rather like this one where the cheese goes in instead of perhaps milk. Milk or cream, because mm-hmm. generally I'm doing chicken broth and vegetables, then puree everything,
yeah.
and then push it up with some no fat half and half, which I find very very good, or Milnot, which is cholesterol free,
uh-huh.
But this idea of cheese, now I know of some where there's a little grated cheese on top, little things mm-hmm. like that, but this sounds
is definitely a cheese soup. It's
yes,
like having
yes
broccoli with cheese on top of it, only you've got cheese gravy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's very good and sounds very easy to do. Thank you.
Well, it is definitely easy, and I think it's yummy. And I was glad to hear your thought about putting an already cooked chicken in, because I roasted my own chicken the other day and thought, well, I don't have that problem of soaking it in brine.
Exactly.
I can do that. So I was drooling while I was listening to your recipe and the man just before me.
I learned this from someone in a line at the grocery store.
Oh, really?
As a matter of, I want some. She said, well, I want a chicken too.
Uh-huh.
And it was, well, what are you going to do with yours? I always put it in, use it for making chicken and dumplings.
Ooh.
But it's already cooked. Yes, that's right. And it's going to get better. Because all that brown stuff on the outside of the chicken, you know, cooks off and goes.
Oh, just wonderful.
So it is an interesting shortcut, and the flavor is just extraordinary.
Well, my roasted chicken was heavy on the garlic on the outside, so it should be very good.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Oh.
Well, it works.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's the first Wednesday of the month. For a long time, we've set aside this day to talk about food and cooking, and always with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. We pick a particular topic, and this time around we said, well, let's talk about soup. Because I think he and I both were thinking, it's cold, it's crummy, it's this time of the year, you want something nice and warm and comforting, and this is a good thing. Marthy soup is a good thing. So we thought, well, let's call in. Let's do that. Let's set up the topic and invite people to call in. And maybe they have a favorite recipe to share. And kind of the hitch, the qualification we put on there was, let's see if we can find things that are quick and not real complicated. So that if you get home and you say, now what are we going to have tonight? It's something that you can actually get on the table.
That you can get on the table in a speedy time, yes.
All right. Next caller is in West Champaign, line number one.
Good morning.
Yes, hello.
I've got one that's really quick and one that's traditional.
Both.
The really quick one is Manhattan clam chowder.
Yes.
And you can take a 14.5-ounce chicken stock and a 14.5-ounce can of tomatoes with basil and oregano, and a single jar of clam juice.
Oh, yes.
And clam juice and a single can of chopped clams.
Yes.
And put them all together very nicely. And then take a half to a whole stalk of celery and a small piece of potato and a small piece of carrot. And what I do is I chop them and whiz them through my little food processor.
Oh, okay.
Until they're quite small.
Mm-hmm. So then they'll cook fast.
Right. And then I toss them. And this all fits in about a 2.5-quart pot. Put them all together, and I simmer them for about 10-15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quick.
Well, that is, but everything is the flavors are all up because you've got the chicken stock, which is already,
and it's low sodium.
Yes, low sodium, and the tomatoes with the basil, and what was the other herb?
Oregano.
An oregano.
Am I allowed to mention the proprietary name?
Sure.
Hunt's.
Oh, all right. The tomato. Are they diced?
Diced.
Yes.
The small diced tomatoes with oregano and basil.
Yes, Hunt's. That's a good product.
I have a dear friend in San Diego who adopted two daughters from Siberia. And when I was visiting him a few years ago, his eldest daughter, Natasha, taught me how to make borscht.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And since they were quite poor out there, they didn't have meat. So, of course, they started with water,
mm-hmm.
and beets, a lot of cabbage.
Water and beets.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of cabbage.
And cabbage. Yes.
A large, 1 to 2 large carrots.
Carrots, yes.
2 parsnips.
Parsnips, yes.
1 stick of celery.
Celery.
1 turnip.
And a turnip, oh yes.
And and let it, and...
Now, these are all fresh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And if you had stock from anything, you would use it.
Mm-hmm. A vegetable stock or a meat stock, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they hardly ever... If you had meat, You can make this with a chicken stock or a beef stock if you have it.
Uh-huh.
Or you can make it with water.
With water, well.
I've made it with beef, chicken, and water, and it's pretty yummy.
Now, what spices?
Have it hot, cold, or room temperature.
Oh. All right. Now, these are all the fresh vegetables. What extra spices do you put in? Or...
I really don't put any in. The difficult part is getting the sweet-sour balance. And
oh, all right.
And at the end, when everything in it sort of gets really soft, and then it's kind of a two-taste. I usually use both white vinegar mm-hmm. and a little fresh lemon juice to get the sour part, and then I add enough granulated sugar to kind of offset that to get the sweet sour. And unfortunately, there's no amount I can give on.
No, a folk recipe like that, the folks always said, take so you have.
Yes.
And that's how much you use. You begin to have a feeling for it when you say, well, I know I don't want more than this. I can always add more, pull back a little bit. But the sweetness.
The thing is, with the sweet sour, you need to do the sour first.
Uh-huh.
And then add the sugar.
Just bring it up, yes.
To bring it. The other thing is with salt, you do need to put salt in. And again, it's a question of putting enough in till it tastes.
Tastes right.
But remembering that whoever you're serving may have sodium restrictions, so you always want to leave it.
Hold it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always want to leave it so somebody can add more at the table.
Well, I have a pot of salt that folks do that. I don't put too much salt in when I'm cooking, but I do have it on the table, and I notice a lot of folks don't really necessarily grab for it. In fact, I've got three salts on the table, which I think is a little opulent, but it's fun.
That's great. There's a wonderful book called What Einstein Told His Cook.
Oh.
Have you read
it?
No,
I have not.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's about kitchen science.
Uh-huh. Oh, my. Uh-huh.
And there I learned that by weight, Morton salt, sea salt, and kosher salt have the same amount of sodium.
Uh-huh.
By volume, they are entirely different.
Oh, yes.
Morton salt has most, and kosher salt has
the least, yes.
And I highly commend it as a book. It's a really, really neat book. It's a lot of fun, and you learn a lot.
Something came out in about a month ago in one of the cooking magazines. Again, it was about salt, and I was surprised that there was such an attitude of a finishing salt versus another salt that you would use earlier in cooking. That,
yes, wasn't that Cooking Light?
Yes, it was Cooking Light. You're right. That was it.
Yeah, I think they mean kosher salt.
Yes,
as a finishing salt. It's because of the crystal size.
Yes, you're right. See, we read the same books.
Especially with fresh tomatoes. And after something has completed,
yes,
it has to do with crystal size, which is why the sodium content is different by volume.
Yes. That's it.
It's a really fun book.
So. It is indeed.
The gentleman that wrote it was chemistry professor at University of Pittsburgh and wrote a column for the Washington Post for years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
It's fun, it's funny, and you learn a lot of kitchen science. And there's good recipes in there, too.
Oh, that's good. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call. We're getting on here, and we have some other folks, and we'll go next to, let me see, I need to call up the right screen here. I'm Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
My husband's theory on salt is that if you put it on the finished product, that it stays on the surface, and so you taste it.
Right.
And so you use less.
Yes.
I wanted to mention, in case people haven't discovered it, there's something called an immersion blender.
I think Emeril calls it the motor.
He calls it the boat motor.
Yeah, boat motor.
Yeah.
Yes.
A boat motor?
Well, he calls it that because it's the stick blender you're talking
right.
about. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Right. And I saw it recommended in a cookbook. I think it was probably Saved by Soup, which the author was on WILL one time. I liked that cookbook.
Oh, uh-huh.
But the advantage of a stick blender is that you don't crack your blender container because of the hot soup.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. My feeling about it is you don't have to dirty two more pans.
Right. Well, you have to clean the stick blender. But...
Well, yeah. Well, and you know they say how to do it. You take it and poke it in the water, and you turn it on, and you stand back, and that's how you clean it.
Well, some of them also come with little containers, so you can
blend
small things. They activate a little blade in a little container. Anyway, there are advantages to that, and I like the one that I gave them as presents to. Bunch of different people.
I have to ask you what did you buy? Because I want to tell you about the one I bought. Where did you buy them?
Oh, I bought them in several different places. Because I bought one for myself and tried it, and then I went back and got some other ones. And I think the one that I have doesn't have the little container, but the one that I bought for the family farm
yes
does, and I forget what brands they are.
I got mine off of off the internet. I was watching a program. I was in San Diego, and I was watching. I don't know, late at night, and I got so fascinated by this object called Thunder Stick. And not only that, but they would sell me two for the price of one. And I said, I cannot believe what they're talking about. And it was one of the devices that fastened on the end could change skim milk into whipped cream. And I thought that was just too much. But so I had to have that.
Well, and, you know, I used the little container at the other end, and the one that we have out in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
I've used it for mixing up powdered egg white.
Oh, that would. Oh, yes.
Because you don't need. It's not. You need a small container.
Yes.
For something that when you're only doing a couple of egg whites.
Small bits. Yes, there's a container with mine. Well, I.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like to buy locally as well, and I like to see what I'm buying. So I'd rather pay a little bit more and support my local stores if that's feasible. I also wanted to mention that one of my quick soups is just a can of spiced tomatoes and a can of beans.
Spiced tomatoes.
Okay. Well, you can get different kinds. The one I'm holding right here, which I'm realizing has more sodium in it than I thought, it's a red gold diced.
Oh, yes, red gold.
Green chilies. We happened to drive past this factory when we're driving to Ohio. So that's one of the reasons I bought it. But it has 340 milligrams of salt per half cup, and presumably there's two cups in a can. And
oh, dear.
You have a whole cup, so that's 680 milligrams if you have a cup. Anyway, but it's really simple, and it's just two cans, and you can add a few more things to it or more liquid, but it's...
So it was spiced tomatoes and what?
A can of beans.
Oh, of beans.
Yeah, I drained the beans to get the excess salt off.
Any particular kind that you like?
Well, I think...
Right
tonight, now?
Now
that we're talking about it, I think I'm going to use garbanzo beans, but I also
Ooh.
Like black beans.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are very fashionable right now, indeed. Black beans. I'm old enough, I don't know about you, to remember when you couldn't buy black beans.
Now, yeah, they were... Well, sometimes they're still hard to find, depending on the grocery store, and garbanzos can be really tricky to find. I found them the other day at Schnucks. Finally, it took me 20 minutes. They were filed under peas.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well,
they're called they're called chickpeas.
Yeah, well, whoever...
garbanzos and, let's see, chana. In India, it's I think they're chana. And sometimes they're dried. And what's the other? What was the other word? I guess chickpea was the first thing I learned years and years ago. And you could always find them in Mexican markets. I remember in Los Angeles, that's where I ran into them first. But garbanzos are. But I advise you to hunt and hunt and hunt, because one can will be $1.58, and the next can will be 47 cents.
I haven't found them for 47 cents, but I've found them for 30 and 40 cents. Difference in price at
yes.
the same store.
At the same store. So I've never understood why that particular product is so crazy.
Yeah,
but anyway, I hunt. When I find it, I run home and write on a note on my kitchen wall where to get them. That's good.
One other thing is that I've discovered... I planted some arugula in my garden, and it was slow bolt arugula, and it comes up every year.
Yes.
So it's always hanging around in my garden, and one of the things you can do with it is stick it in soups, and presumably it has a lot of vitamins in it because it's from the leaves.
Oh, yes.
As it's coming up, it's in the same family as broccoli. And it loses its spiciness when you cook it. It isn't hot anymore. And the other thing you can stick in soups is kale.
Kale
is one of the other things
yes.
that you need that they say you should eat lots of, but I don't have a lot of recipes for kale. And I think it's one of the other things you can grow in your garden, and it just kind of hangs in there.
Oh, it will last all winter and make a very good early spring soup for you.
Mm.
I think it kind of quits a little bit after spring starts, but it'll stay all winter. It'll stay under snow and everything. Kale that flowering kale, the beautiful colored ones that you put out to decorate your yard in the fall, you can eat that as well.
Hmm. Well, that's all I had to contribute. Time for somebody else.
Well, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you. We're already here at the midpoint. It's the first Wednesday of the month. We're talking about cooking as we have done for a long time, and with our guest, Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence, and we pick a topic every time around, and we chat, and we exchange stories and cooking tips and recipes. And this time around, we said, let's talk about soup, and we're interested in your recipes, particularly if you have something you think is really good, and it's quick and easy, relatively speaking. You can get it on the table pretty quick. 333-9455 for Champaign Urbana listeners, toll free 800-222-9455. And our next caller is in Champaign and on line 3. Hello.
Hello. Hey, those beans you were talking about are
yes.
sometimes referred to as peas.
Oh.
Chickpeas.
Chickpeas, and, that's right. Yes.
But I have a quick recipe here, French onion soup.
Yes.
And you take a package of dry onion soup mix,
mm-hmm.
a small onion, a teaspoon of butter, an eighth teaspoon of thyme, and 4 cups of water, 4 slices of French bread toasted, and 4 tablespoons of shredded cheese.
What kind of cheese?
Well, usually I use whatever I have on hand.
Uh-huh.
Mozzarella is the soup most used in French onion soup. So in a medium-sized saucepan, you sauté the onion in butter. Stir in 4 cups of water, the thyme, and the soup mix.
Right.
Bring it to a boil, and you stir it occasionally. Reduce the heat and simmer it uncovered for about 10 minutes. Place the toasted French bread in a bowl, sprinkle with the teaspoon
of soup.
And then you pour in the hot soup and really enjoy it.
That sounds good, and that sounds very fast. And generally, French onion soup takes a long, long, long time because a lot of people like to sweat the onions for almost a half an hour.
Well, this takes you about 20 minutes to 25 minutes, and you have it on the table.
And you have it on the table. Well, that's very good, and that's what we're looking for today.
So thought I'd share that with you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
French onion soup. Thank you.
Very good. Well, thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
Well, now we don't have anybody holding. Would you like to contribute?
Oh, me? Yes,
something.
I want to give
yes.
one of my favorite recipes. Yes, here's this one is green pea and green bean soup. And you'll not do anything much faster than this, mm-hmm. and you won't find anything much better than this. Let's see. 1 large Spanish onion peeled and sliced, 1 quart of water. Oh, let's get down here. I like to get down to the business. In the skillet, put the sliced onion and cook it frequently stir it frequently until it's limp but not brown. Then add the water or the stock, and that was a quart of cold water or a quart of stock, and bring to a boil. So you've got just sautéed onions and water. Then add the green beans, and the green beans are frozen green beans. That are fresh frozen green beans. Add the green beans, bring to a rapid boil, and cook until they're tender, which is about 10 minutes, as I recall. Then add the green peas and only cook that just a few minutes. And the green peas are frozen peas, too. And you only cook those for about 10 minutes. Then you put those into a blender or your new immersion stick or go out and get the motorboat motor. And puree it and return that to the pot, and then add heavy cream. Now, when it comes to heavy cream, I do like to use Land O'Lakes fat-free half and half. I like that very much. But if you can afford to put in heavy cream, then whipping cream is just fine. And you heat it through, but you don't boil it. After you put the cream in it, you don't boil it. Season it with a little bit of salt and pepper. It is so good. It is so easy. And you taste it. You say, well, I can taste the green beans. I can taste the peas. I can taste the soup and everything. It's a remarkable thing that has such a clear, fresh taste, and it takes no time at all. And I made this for my sister-in-law a couple years ago. And, of course, she didn't have an immersion blender. She said, well, I believe I like it without having it pureed, but I don't. I like it pureed. It is so easy. All you're doing is cooking the beans and the peas, and not for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I mean, you don't put any. There are no spices or anything else added in this except for the onion. And oh, is it good? Do give it a try.
Okay. We have somebody who's calling here on a cell phone. They're in their car, I believe. We'll go to line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Is that me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm driving on my way to Champaign in the rain, and I'm very much enjoying your program. Perhaps someone has already mentioned this, but our favorite quick soup is something I call cream of anything, and I start with a can of cream of potato soup.
Oh.
And add a cup of any vegetable that happens to be in my refrigerator or garden, and the requisite amount of milk, usually low-fat or skim milk, and blend it up and heat it up and serve it.
Starting with the cream of potato soup.
Yes, because it takes on the flavor of whatever vegetable you
Yes,
might,
and it's got thick, it's got a thickener in it, and that'll give you a nice texture to the broth.
Exactly, and you can season it a little bit or whatever. I've even served it for company, but I've never admitted that it was canned soup.
I like that. Years ago, when I could get black bean soup, I haven't seen it recently, but Campbell's used to have a black bean soup. I would take a can of black bean soup and a can of chicken broth, and then add a goodly amount of oregano to that, and heat that up. And that was just an extraordinary taste to make from canned stuff. That's good. But cream of potato soup, that sounds like a good starting point.
Well, broccoli, carrots, anything
yes.
that's in your fridge. Even lettuce. I don't know if you've ever made lettuce soup, but lettuce is...
Oh, that's very French. No, I haven't done that.
Yes, of course it is.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
And by the way, the best cheese for French onion soup is, of course, Gruyere.
Oh.
If one can get it.
All right, yes.
That's the classic thing.
I'll write that note down now. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, thank
Be
you
careful.
For the call. Yeah, in fact, our meteorologist, the one who was on duty, Sam Klein, just came in the studio and handed me an update on the local forecast. I think maybe I'd like to pass it on to people. I'm sure we'll be talking about it throughout the day. But apparently now, I think earlier we had a storm watch, and now we have a winter storm warning that is in effect until 6 a.m. Thursday morning. This is includes Champaign-Urbana. We're still expecting this afternoon this mixture of freezing rain and sleet. Ice accumulation between a quarter and a half inch is possible. Then for tonight, cloudy with a mixture of light freezing rain, sleet, and snow, changing to all snow before ending after midnight. And Sam says we're looking at the possibility of a snow accumulation between 1 and 2 inches. In addition, it's going to be cold and it's going to be windy, so I don't think it's going to be a very nice night to be out. So go home, make soup, and stay indoors.
and sit down.
That's right. So and again, this is now we have a winter storm warning that will be in effect until 6 a.m. Thursday morning. And, of course, our meteorologists are on the case. They'll be following the weather. Whatever happens, we'll keep you informed.
Good.
And the next most complete kind of look at the weather we will have as part of the afternoon magazine. So that'll be 12:35. And let's see, we also have somebody else right here to talk with, calling from southeastern Illinois on our line 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Yeah, I've just been recently making, this won't sound good to most of the people listening because everybody likes highly seasoned things. I don't like highly seasoned things. I have a little bit of some salt and maybe a little bit of pepper, and that's it. I like the taste of the ingredients.
Uh-huh.
But I've just been making stewed chicken, and when you end up having it, then you have pieces of stewed chicken that can be used for meat or sandwiches.
Oh, yes.
And a container of broth. And for soup, I just put some sliced some celery in a bowl and add a few green beans from a can, add a few sliced carrots from a can, and some pieces of chicken, about the right size for a mouthful, to be picked up with the rest of it, and pour the broth on and stick it in the microwave on 50% for about 16 minutes. And that cooks the celery to where it's kind of crispy. But that's really quick.
Yes, it is. But that's you've got good things together there. That's very good.
Incidentally, you've been talking all the time about soup, and nobody has mentioned crackers.
They haven't.
A hint on how to eat crackers without making a mess, particularly if you're eating crackers in bed.
Okay, I'm all for that.
Always bite along the grain of the cracker and not across the grain.
Oh, how peculiar.
Have you ever noticed that crackers do, in fact, have a grain?
Well, now that you're asking me to think about it, I have noticed that, but I didn't give much credit to it.
Well,
if
you bite with the grain, so it's the grain lines up with your teeth. Why, the few crumbs that will come, you can pretty well suck them in. But if you bite across the grain, the whole thing shatters.
The whole thing shatters. Well, you're right. Oh
so,
dear.
Well, that was my contribution. Thank
that's
you.
That's good. Right. Yeah, I sort of had a little childhood shift there. My brother and I always finished a meal. I don't know. I don't really know why, other than it just became a habit. When I was little, up until I was about 8 or 9, I guess, of dunking crackers, soda crackers, into water. We'd have the whole meal. We'd eat everything. Might even have some jelly, or not jelly, but molasses and soda, which you mix up and make a little spread out of, which is another peculiar farm thing to do. But we would soak crackers, and you had to be skilled in knowing how long to keep the cracker in the water so that you could get it up to your mouth without it falling off. And for some reason or other, it was so rewarding. I can't – crackers and water being rewarding, but I remember being pleased with it. I think probably I was pleased mostly that I didn't drop it all over me.
That maybe it was a test of one's skill.
Yes, it was skill. I believe that
was what it was about. We have about 15 minutes left in this part of Focus. It's our monthly program on cooking with Doyle Moore, the man we call our chef in residence. And we said, let's talk about soup. If you have a good recipe to share, that would be very nice, particularly if it's something that's quick and easy. Doesn't necessarily have to be, but that always helps. 333.
Let me give you one of my quick recipes. This is a recipe I'm very, very fond of, and I find it very peculiar. I found this in Louisville, Kentucky. I think the folks were Armenian. Lebanese. It was Lebanese pea soup. A potato that's peeled and cubed, 2 medium onions chopped. That's quite a bit of onions. 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 4 tablespoons of minced garlic, which is a lot. But I'm telling you, it needs a lot. A can of tomato paste and a can of diced tomatoes. Both of those tomatoes are very, very important. Can of dice and a can of tomato paste. And then about 2 teaspoons of thyme and a teaspoon of ground cinnamon and a half a teaspoon of ground allspice and black pepper and a can of chicken broth and 1 pound of fresh green peas. You can see that all that is sort of put together. brown the onions and then add all the other ingredients except leave the peas out and simmer all of that for about 15 minutes. That'd be potato and the onions and the tomato paste and tomatoes and all of the spices and everything. And then after the potatoes are all cooked, add the peas and simmer for 15 minutes again until it is done. But I like to simmer it a little longer, adding water if necessary. And it was served with pita bread. I cannot believe that all of that garlic was necessary, but it was. I mean, it makes something beyond a little pea soup with some tomato in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just beyond it. I swooned in eating this, and I asked the waitress, and she turned out to be the granddaughter of the cook, and so she brought him out, and we sat there and had a quick cooking lesson of Lebanese pea soup. Absolutely unbeatable, and that only takes about 30 minutes to cook, but it's that tomato paste, which gives a lot of body, and the more tomatoes, and... Yes, it's a red and green soup, come to think of it. The color of it, very bright. Really wonderful. Give it a try. Potatoes and onions and olive oil and minced garlic and tomato paste and diced tomatoes and thyme leaves are the only thing that you put in it for thyme leaves and cinnamon and allspice. I think that's what makes it more Lebanese than anything else are those funny spices. And then the chicken broth that you cooked it in, that's it.
Very good.
Peas.
We have another caller here, someone in Kankakee. Let's talk with them on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Howdy.
Yes.
I've got two really super easy, super quick, tasty soup recipes.
Great.
Well, not even hardly recipes, but just super quick. From Aldi's, a can of tomato soup and a can of stewed tomatoes.
Stewed tomatoes and tomato soup, yes.
Yeah, and don't just barely dilute the tomato soup. Use the juice from the stewed tomatoes
uh-huh.
and toss in just a pinch of sugar. And
yes, you're right.
And then serve it with some cheese curls.
I hadn't thought of that.
There you go. Can't get any simpler than that.
No, you can't. Tomato soup with tomatoes, yes. There is a tomato bisque that Progresso makes. And it is very much like this. I think I came up with this recipe that you've just described from trying to sort of make a shortcut to making a tomato bisque. And you're absolutely right. Tomato soup and tomatoes, and then you put a touch of sugar in.
Yeah, with stewed tomatoes.
Stewed tomatoes, yes.
So you got the green peppers in there, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, plus the green peppers.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. And another... simple, again from Aldi's, their clam chowder. And I toss in a little bit of Tony's Sacheret's Creole seasoning.
Creole seasoning, yes.
And for folks that have never been down in South Louisiana in Cajun country, all the kitchens down there have three ingredients by the stove, salt and pepper and Tony's.
And Tony's, yes.
And that is a fact. And just sprinkle a little bit of that in the clam chowder, and again, toss in some cheese curls, and there you go.
Creole seasoned clam chowder.
There you go.
Does
little extra kick to it.
It does indeed.
And super quick, there you go, low budget, good for a student or anybody who just wants to get something warm in their stomach quickly.
Instant gratification.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that you can be very inventive with canned. We did a show some years ago. It has been quite a while. As I remember, first you take a can, because a lot of canned stuff is very good, but you have to do something to it.
Yeah.
It's
a good starting point.
Yes, it is. Yes. Well, Creole seasoning is a good enough additive to clam chowder.
It's a wonderful thing. Tony's Sacheret. Folks don't have it in their kitchens. They need to look around for it.
So, what basically is in there? I'm assuming it's got cayenne pepper in it.
Well, it doesn't actually list the ingredients, but yeah, there would be like cayenne pepper and a lot of sodium and yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a little. It's a flavoring. A
little
added
secret ingredient.
Secret ingredient.
Well, thanks for
thank
the
you.
Call.
Thank
we
you.
Thank you
all so much.
Appreciate it. Let's continue. We'll go to someone here in Urbana. This is line 1. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I have a request and a recipe. A request for Portuguese kale and potato soup, which I've had, but I don't know how to make it. I think it's just kale and potatoes chopped up and cooked in either water or...
Probably a broth.
A broth.
Uh-huh.
And the recipe I have is Portuguese soup from the Inn at Brushy Creek near Austin, Texas. It's a sweet and sour soup.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So a cup of onions, three cups of garlic chopped, three tablespoons.
Three how much of garlic?
Three cloves.
Oh, cloves.
Yeah, or you can use powder if you want.
Yes, I thought you said cups.
No, I may have.
I know.
I may have. 3 tablespoons of oil. Saute that. Add 1/2 pound of, they use the Texas garlic sausage. I use turkey sausage.
Oh, yes. All right.
So 1/2 pound.
Sausage, yes.
Yeah, 5 cups of any kind of stock.
5 cups
or water.
Of stock, yes.
Yeah. 1 can of kidney beans with a liquid.
Kidney beans, yes.
Yeah, of the red ones.
Mm-hmm.
A half a head of green cabbage, and I didn't know quite how to do this because I don't have a cabbage for me. I use like a 1/2 inch diameter cabbage is what,
all right.
I, figured, what mm-hmm. I would use. Then 6 small potatoes, you know, like new potatoes.
Those little Dutch potatoes,
right.
Yes.
And if you're going to freeze this, leave out the potatoes.
Okay.
Okay. 2 to 4 tablespoons of vinegar.
All right. 2 to 4 big teas of
vinegar. Depending upon what you like. 8 ounces of ketchup.
And 8? Oh, that's interesting.
And salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
So saute the first ingredients, the onions, garlic.
The onions and garlic.
Garlic and the sausage.
And the sausage,
and then just
yes.
add everything up else and cook it for 30 to 45 minutes.
Cabbage and kidney beans,
right.
And sausage,
right.
And onions and cloves,
right.
And potatoes,
right. Unless
and
you want to freeze it,
then a lot of vinegar, 2 to 4 tablespoons,
yeah.
is
right,
a good,
right. And the ketchup,
and
it's
the ketchup.
A spicy soup, but it's not hot, but it's
uh-huh. And this is an old Texas recipe.
Well, it's from the Inn at Brushy Creek. I don't know how old it is,
uh-huh.
But it's good.
That sounds pretty direct. I think,
and it's easy. I
may choose that one to do.
Hey,
I'm getting
great.
So many good ones here.
Good.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
And if anybody knows the potato and kale recipe.
Potato and kale.
Yeah, that's all I think it has in it.
Let me ask you, Connor, do you have a way to get at the internet?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with a website called Epicurious?
Yes. I should look it up.
Look there. I have it up on my screen right here, and here's a recipe for Portuguese kale and potato soup.
Wonderful.
And what I did was I just went to the recipe search at Epicurious and just typed in kale and potato soup, and a bunch came up, and one specifically said it was Portuguese, and it has garlic, onions, carrots. It has russet potatoes. It uses chicken broth. It has some chorizo
uh-huh.
in it, and it has kale, and then it also has red potatoes.
Uh-huh.
And what they want you to do essentially is to saute the garlic and the onions and the carrot, and then put in the russets, and mm-hmm. then cook them until they're tender, cook the sausage separately, uh-huh. process those vegetables that you cooked, and then combine it all with the meat and the kale and the red potato. So then you'll get a creamy potato soup, but it has chunks of red potato in it that'll be whole.
That sounds really good.
And it does sound pretty good. And you cook the chorizo, obviously, because you don't want all that fat from the sausage.
Right.
So cook that separately and then put it all together. And that sounds pretty good. And it doesn't have any other seasoning. It doesn't mm-hmm. have herbs. It mm-hmm. doesn't have salt. It doesn't have anything like that in it.
Sounds great. That was cool of you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me see. Let's try and do one more here. We have a caller on our line number 2, and that would be in Champaign. Hello. Caller there. Line
Hello?
2. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, they told me 9-1. I have it's a kind of a soupy recipe. It's very comfort food, and it's also excellent to serve guests when you have guests like that are going to arrive in about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all out of a package, and you'd lie, okay?
I like that part.
You have to have a packet of taco seasoning, and then you get a pork tenderloin. Don't use any other kind of pork because it will turn to rubber with this recipe. Now you brown, you toss the pork medallions or smaller pieces in the taco seasoning, mm-hmm. and you brown it in a skillet with canola oil, a little bit of just as much as you need for it. Then you take another, if you've got a wok, it's good. Get sliced onions, and then one red pepper and a cubit, one yellow pepper cubit, and if you want to add a green pepper and cubit, that's fine too. And then you just saute that lightly.
Okay.
Then you put everything together. You add, a sort of medium-sized jar of mild salsa.
This oh, all right.
It's mm-hmm. mild salsa in it. And then you add 3 tablespoons of apricot or peach jam.
Okay.
And then you stir it, and the rice will have cooked. If you just bring it to a boil about an hour before and let it sit, the rice will be cooked. And you pour it over the rice, and they think you've spent 10 hours.
Now, I lost where the rice came in.
Oh, I saw you. Well, you used to cook the rice separately, and then you serve it over rice.
Oh, all right, and serve over rice.
Yeah, you serve it over rice, or you risotto, or whatever you want, really. But it's absolutely delicious. It comes from the Cozy Corner, my mother-in-law's restaurant. Anyway, they think you spent hours and hours and hours.
Isn't that something?
And it tastes wonderful. And it takes about 20 minutes to do. You've got this marvelous, wonderful pork.
Uh-huh.
With this wonderful flavors and these
and
wonderful, colorful vegetables.
Oh, yes.
Such a beautiful presentation. It's just lovely.
And served over rice. Great. Well, thank you.
Okay.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks.
Enjoy.
Well, we are
taco
just about at the
seasoning. Wow.
Point that we're going to have to stop because we've used the time. That's that. So we're going to have to go make soup, and next month we'll think of something
we'll
else.
We'll think of something else. You're right. Well, thank you.
Well, and thank everybody who called.
Oh, goodness, yes.
And,
what a nice response today.
Again, we will try and have some of the recipes printed up. Just you'll have to be patient with us because it takes us a while because somebody's got to sit down and do it. But if you'll drop us a line, we will do that. And with our thanks to our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here.
See you again.
We'll be back again next month, first Wednesday at 10 o'clock. The show is made possible in part by a grant from Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Seymour Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, Bean Scene Cafe, Pray Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. Support also comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium in Urbana this Saturday from 8 to 10. The Corkscrew hosts the Briggs Houchin Jazz Duo for an evening of music, wine, and camaraderie. A portion of all the beverage proceeds that evening will be donated to tsunami relief organizations. Information available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. We're going to take a break. We'll have more Focus First, though, news and an update on the markets.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-